Next on BYU Sports Nation. Did we find out who BYU starting quarterback will be during yesterday's practice? Why offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick's words seem to be hinting clearly towards a new QB1. And is BYU the most underrated team ever in college football? Brett McMurphy believes that the Cougars just may be.
We've got interviews from camp with LJ Martin, Andrew Gentry. How is BYU's rushing attack going to look this fall? And men's basketball goes up against the NFL in its latest scheduling announcement. Forget Thanksgiving Chiefs versus Cowboys. Make room for Cougar hoops.
Priorities. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. Presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, August 13th. I am Spencer Linton. He is a guy who tucks himself in at night cozy with Jimmer Fredette highlights, Jerem Jordan.
That might be the case. Yesterday, David Nixon was on the program, and he had this to say.
I went back and watched the highlights of the Utah game just a couple nights ago. That's how I put myself to bed. Right? That's like my warm milk at night is just watching highlights of BYU football from last year.
Spencer, what's your BYU highlight warm milk, if you will? Do you know a soul that isn't 70 plus that drinks warm milk at any stage by choice?
It has to have some chocolate in it if I'm going to do the warm milk thing at night.
Yeah. I mean, hot chocolate, yeah, that makes sense. No. But
I don't know that there is somebody in my network that drinks warm milk at night.
I think my grandma may have when she was younger.
But there are many of us who do watch BYU highlights as pseudo warm milk like David Nixon. To answer your question, probably highlights from the 1990s of BYU football, Ty Detmer's Heisman Trophy campaign, the 96 season, because that's really where my fandom turned up to a wild level. So probably highlights from the 90s from BYU football.
I don't have anything specific.
No?
Just any BYU highlights.
It's not like I seek it out, but if I see a Ty Detmer highlight or a highlight from the 96 season, I will watch it.
Yeah, maybe Brock Zylstra banging 5 threes at Virginia Tech in like 2011 or whatever. Yeah, maybe that one.
Jimmer Fredette also in his March Madness highlights.
Yeah, those come up every March.
Yeah. Yeah. Against Gonzaga specifically, that's a nice warm
the pull up against Florida with the chin strap, looking like yes. Ty Detmer and
Gus Johnson and Reggie Miller on the call. Oh yeah, like that. If that pops up, I will watch that, and that always makes me feel.
One time we ran into in the elevator one of the analysts from the Mountain West Conference days and the Mountain and everything that did a bunch of Jimmer games.
Steve Lapis.
And we got in the elevator and we were like, we look at each other, we're like, that was from D. Yeah. That was you, right?
Yeah. That was almost from the logo.
I love it. On that note, with your warm milk in hand, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Right now, McKay and Bear getting the majority of the reps with the ones and twos.
Bear is giving them everything they can handle. He's right in the mix.
I think when you look at A-Rod's scheme, which I feel like kind of fits my game.
For McKay, you can just see that his comfort level in our offense has really grown. I'm pleased with that growth.
If you want to win the spot, it's there for the taking.
What's trending? Brought to you by Tim Daly Nissan and the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. And then there were two potential starters in the BYU quarterback race. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick making that official yesterday after BYU's most recent practice, that Bear Bachmeier and McKay Hillstead are the two quarterbacks now getting the primary amount of reps with the ones with this announcement.
Bear took the majority today, and McKay got some as well. As I mentioned Saturday, we can't keep going equal reps with three guys anymore. So, you know, each day you're going to see right now McKay and Bear getting the majority of the reps with the ones and the twos, and that's where we're at right now.
Okay, two guys with their opportunity to go out and earn it in front of Aaron Roderick and the coaches.
But when will the final decision be made? Here's Aaron again.
Well, the decisions, it happens on the field. I mean, it's not like I just say, oh, this is what I decided today. It's what happens on the field. You know, the guy that moves the team, we want to move the team and score points. So if you take care of the football and you throw completions and you make good decisions, and a lot of times it's things that fans don't see. A lot of times it's a guy's got two plays and he gets us into the right play and you hand it off and make 4 yards and nobody knew that the quarterback just did the right thing for our program. They got us out of a bad play. Those things are big, and so we're evaluating that every day, and the guys that play the best, The guy that plays the best will be the one that starts in the first game. We haven't set a deadline, but the sooner the better. And once it's clear, we'll make the move. If you know, as soon as it's clear to us who it is, we'll make that statement. Yeah.
It's almost like they want it to be obvious to everybody in camp and the rest of the team that, okay, so that when they do make the announcement, they're like, well, yeah, that this is the guy.
Therefore, it's not obvious yet.
It's not. Which is why Aaron Roderick told me last Saturday, I need to see Bear specifically more with the ones to see how he handles that added pressure. Kalani Sitake was asked, is Bear Bachmeier leading this quarterback race? But coach showed he still has some evasiveness. We know he liked to elude defenders at times as a running back, and he did so answering this question.
We settle it on the field, you know. I don't control it. It's the players. If you want to win the spot, it's there for the taking. And so, you know, I think our job is to put them in the position where they can win the spot, and that's in every position, including quarterback. And so I think we still have some more time to see who's going to be the best fit for running our offense and who's going to be the best fit for that, you know, for game one, and then we'll go from there. But as soon as we figure it out, we'll let you guys know, and probably the sooner the better.
A lot of goodness there in those sound bites.
That was Kalani Fifita talking in that last one.
Jeremy, what is your overall reaction to the current situation at quarterback with two guys competing for the number one spot following yesterday's media availability?
Yesterday I said I felt like this was down to two. That was confirmed. Hey, it's down to two. And then we talked about who's got the nod. Felt like, to me, Bear had the nod. You said McKay. That's still TBD. I said it may be Bear's job to lose, you know, earlier this week and last week, which is interesting, but McKay is right there. And I don't know. I still feel like, hey, Bear's got the nod right now. Yes, he took the majority of reps with the ones yesterday. That doesn't mean he's going to every day. McKay may get the majority of reps one day and so on and so forth. But, yeah, we could see the first true freshman quarterback starter at the beginning of the season for BYU ever. And this is wild. Bear's done a great job in camp. He still has to prove it. If it was obvious, they would have named him the starter yesterday. They would have named him today. But, yeah, there's still work to be done this week. So my anticipation is that early next week, they will name Bear Bachmeier the starting quarterback. That's what I'm anticipating.
The tune of the song has changed a little bit because out of Saturday, based on Aaron Roderick's comments, I thought, okay, I feel like maybe McKay, because of the way that he talked about him, has a slight edge. But after these remarks and some other conversations and observations, it feels like Bear Bachmeier is being given every opportunity to earn the spot by being given extra reps with the ones this week. Again, this is my opinion, but it feels like this is his week to go out and prove it. So unless
to win it.
To win it, yes.
Like end
win
it.
The job.
Like end it.
This week.
Yeah.
This is his opportunity. So yeah. Unless, heaven forbid, Bear Bachmeier falls on his face, I'm now leaning toward agreeing with you, Jerem, that he's going to be the guy.
It only took 12 years, Spence. No, I'm just kidding.
It feels that way. Yep. Like, this is his opportunity. He'll have plenty of reps, plenty of time to, if he has created that little bit of separation, to further it and then make the coach's decision, not easy, but easier and maybe more obvious to his teammates. We're trending in that direction that history is going to be made.
Which at the beginning of camp, I said, man, I'm surprised that he really has a chance. I was surprised not because of Bear's skill. When he came here, I feel like we made a big deal out of getting Bear Bachmeier and who tried to recruit him and his film and everything. I was like, wow, the number six dual threat out of high school in the country? He's never had that kind of guy.
Look at the list of schools that offered him
a
scholarship.
Literally everybody, like Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, everybody that wanted him, man. Come on. So when he gets here, it's like, okay, he's going to maybe be the guy next year because this is Jake's year, obviously. My thought in saying, hey, Bear might actually win it, was, are those two other more experienced guys who have played college football, are they going to beat them out? They should beat them out, shouldn't they?
They know the playbook.
They've been in the system.
They have every advantage.
I am frankly a little surprised they did not, as I said earlier this week and yesterday as well. So that's credit to Bear for showing up, for making plays, for moving the ball, for knowing the playbook, for being cerebral. You know, does he have freshman issues? Yes. Will BYU take some lumps because freshman quarterback on offense? Yes. But you have enough around him to where the BYU business model for football is not quarterback win us the game. It is not.
Not currently. Not like it used to be.
And it very well could be in the next couple of years. But right now with this defense, with this run game, with the skill positions, with special teams, it is, frankly, it's don't lose the game for us. Don't turn the ball over a lot. Like, just find playmakers, make simple plays, take the first downs, take the checkdowns at time. It is not as difficult for a true freshman to come in and be successful here than maybe previously it would have been, where you're asking that guy to do a lot.
The comments from Fessy Satake after practice number one are in line with what you talked about. Immediately, the coaches were impressed. Like, they looked at him and thought, whoa, he's way ahead of schedule. And so you and I conversed and we're like, holy cow, this dude's actually going to get a shot.
Yeah.
To be the starter.
And then he would have to do stuff, and he apparently has in practice.
To his credit.
And that was the best throw yesterday, by the way. Tight window to Carson Ryan. We were there for that one. I was like, oh, that was a great play.
Apparently Carson Ryan is running better than he ever has as a tight end. He's lighter, he's quicker, stronger. So shout out to the strength and conditioning staff. Those are his words. Those are his words.
That's great, because this guy's looking for an opportunity. He has a catch a game in his career. That's the kind of average for him.
Can we get the tight end? Re-engage a little bit.
Maybe they needed the right tight end. I don't know. I think we're going to see Carson Ryan be a top three receiver in this offense.
Hopefully he is a security blanket for Bear Bachmeier if Bear is the starting quarterback.
It's trending that direction.
If I'm looking at a pie chart and giving people percentages of the chance I think of each of these quarterbacks are to be the starter, right now Bear, I'm saying 65%.
It might be higher.
It might be. And I'm leaving room for the rest of the week and maybe early next week in case – Bear doesn't perform well, and maybe McKay comes out and he answers the call. He's like, no. Like, I'm the vet.
Right. Maybe he responds.
I'm going to go improve it this week.
I've been waiting for that, though.
You want that?
I'm waiting for McKay to go,
come on.
I played college football.
Yes. I've been with the team for a year and a half.
Yes.
I know the playbook better than him.
And ultimately, the staff, and frankly, us, there's no agenda with who the guy is. It's who is going to help us win the most. Who is going to do what we need that quarterback to do. It's not you have to play Bear because you don't want him to transfer. Nope. I think this kid's patient and going to be here for years, and it looks like might be the guy for years. And BYU's got some nice quarterbacks lined up the next couple years too,
Multiple. Which
is great.
Yeah. So, you speaking of those quarterbacks, I had a few fans on social media reach out and say, okay, great, but really, is BYU going to go from a true freshman to a true freshman when Bear Bachmeier's the guy, if he's the guy, and incoming five-star quarterback comes, and I'm like, no.
That's a third season from now.
Five-star quarterback is going on a mission for at least a year, right?
Yeah.
So if Bear wins the job this year, he's going to be the guy for at least 2 years.
Yes, and again, everything's year-to-year. We don't know what next year holds right now. I mean, you make plans, and then
it's a fickle beast.
And then God laughs.
Yes,
right? He's
yes.
Like, eh.
You know,
your life goes in different directions. Let's just finish this training camp and then go to the first game.
Let's take this conversation to another level with our question of the day. This is loaded. How do your expectations for BYU football shift depending on who is starting at quarterback for the Cougars this season? @Watchman_Mike answers on X. Patience and enjoy the Cougar tale. So, no expectations, just be patient and eat your donut?
Sugar. Just Cougar tail heals a lot.
Okay. The blue goggles on set are not big enough for this next one. @LaMilkLV says 16-0 national championship no matter what.
Well, it'd be 15 because probably getting a bye if you're undefeated.
That's true. If you're undefeated, you're
probably
getting a bye.
So probably 15-0. Yep, close.
A little nuance there.
Okay. You would be top four and getting a bye. Yeah.
@RowdyInTheRock, win the Big 12 championship or win the Big 12 championship.
Okay.
That's the team's goal. That's where the bar's at. Wow. Win it? Okay. They say, regardless of who suits up a quarterback, A-Rod and staff have proven they can develop and game plan around a quarterback. I trust these guys to get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of wait and see for me with a true freshman quarterback. I'm going to allow him.
You don't say!
I'm going to allow him some grace. Frankly, we're going to allow our top 10 men's basketball team some grace a little bit at the beginning of the year.
For sure.
Despite how talented they are. Like,
it
AJ's.
Takes time.
AJ's proven, but we're not like, win the natty now. We're like, well, let's see the beginning of the season.
It takes time. You got to learn how to drive the ridiculously fast, amazing sports car. Like, you can't just get into an F1 car.
You can't
and know
just
exactly
be Brad Pitt and be retired and suddenly show up in an F1.
car. Oh, wait, that's the...
Listen, BYU went from really like a normal Porsche to an F1 car with their basketball talent, but it takes time to learn how to drive that car.
Yes, and Kevin's like, I can coach you, I promise. Like, I've done this before.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the expectations conversation.
Thanksgiving Day is perhaps the greatest sports day of the year. It's great. You get to watch all the games. You know, March Madness is up there. Christmas Day is great, too. There's always NFL to dominate. But this Thanksgiving, BYU is taking on Miami because Miami's still upset about the 1990 game here in Provo and football. It's in men's hoops. It'll be on ESPN. That will be a big stage. But it's going head-to-head with Cowboys Chiefs on CBS. So, Spence. Yeah. What's on the phone? What's on the TV? Or are there two TVs for this?
Of course there are multiple TVs for this, Jerem.
Of course.
There are all the TVs, all of the iPads, all of the computers, like all streaming devices.
How many
YouTube
TV accounts do you have? Jeez. It's
like well, the beauty is it, if you just have it in your home, you can stream it on all your TVs.
Then you're good. I share it with a couple people. So. Oh, shoot, we have too many streams.
So, of course, BYU's on the TV, the biggest TV, the brightest stage, the
brightest
lights.
Unless your name's Jason Shepherd and you're watching
Maybe they're equal. No. Yeah, BYU basketball is on the TV when they are playing. It will be the most prime viewing experience in my home on Thanksgiving Day. Football lasts a lot longer, too. I mean, I know it's going head-to-head with the Chiefs, but frankly, there are three football games on Thanksgiving Day, right? So football can have the spotlight when there's no BYU basketball, but it's all Cougs and Hurricanes. And wouldn't it be something if Miami's athletic director legitimately called Brian Santiago and said, look, we're still mad about 1990, so we really want to play you.
Well, who canceled? Was it BYU or Miami? Because they had a football series in the
When BYU went to the Big 12, I believe it was a mutual agreement.
Sure it was. Yeah, sure it was.
I would love to see that football game.
Oh, it was an equal. You know, they both broke up with each other. That never happened.
I don't think there was a penalty. There wasn't a payment penalty.
No, I doubt it. It was probably a written in clause for sure. Now, you had that in all that country.
You're watching basketball on the biggest, brightest TV, right?
Come on.
It's the Cougs.
Bring them.
Yes.
Come on.
Priorities.
I'll be ranked number six, you know? Everybody's watching. Everyone's watching AJ.
Or higher.
Maybe.
Are they a top five team by Thanksgiving?
You know what we haven't discussed? What will BYU be in the preseason poll?
Man.
Rothstein has them at eight, basically, every
Could
day.
Could they be number one at some point?
Yeah. If they win a bunch in this schedule, they will absolutely
they could
be
number one.
Because it's so tough.
It could make history. Highest BYU's ever climbed is number two.
The 88 team, like, comes out onto the court, and they're like, we passed the baton from number two to number one because we didn't beat UAB.
I mean, 2011 got to four, I think.
Three, I think.
Number three?
I think they got to
three. Yeah. Okay.
Missed the UPI poll, by the way.
Gone are the days of BYU basketball being underrated. Not so much for BYU football, who, as of yesterday, according to On3's Brett McMurphy, BYU was revealed as the most underrated team since 2014. There was a list of top 25 underrated teams.
Yep.
The Cougars at the top. Is it time to hang a banner for this, Jerem?
We love the hang banners. We literally did one.
Right next to our 2021 Pac-12 South de facto championship banner.
Yes, indeed. Cougar Stats put out some really good info about, I can't remember since which year, but BYU had the most, they were unranked at the beginning of the year and they finished ranked times. I can't remember what the year was, but it was 13 to lead everybody in the country since, I can't remember if it was 2000 or 1970 or something.
It's crazy.
But that encapsulates this point.
Yes.
I think Brett McMurphy is providing an opinion. Cougar Stats provided a fact, which is just unbelievable, that BYU overachieves more often, right? And this team is feeling that energy like they did last year. Coming off 5-7, people don't believe in the offense this year. Like, I would love to say I feel confident that BYU can get to the Big 12 title game in spite of the newness of said quarterback. I am in wait-and-see mode on that. Does BYU have the talent and the pieces on this team to contend to be in the Big 12 title game around the quarterback? 1,000,000%. They do. This is a talented team with NFL guys in a lot of the right spots with great experience, the continuity of the coaching staff. That's the exciting part. What does that look like, though? Is a good season with a true freshman quarterback, should it be Bear Bachmeier, 8-4 and 5-4 in league. Is that good? I would argue that is good in a Power 4. But is it good enough? Because Rowdy and the Rock is saying Big 12 title game.
And others.
Yeah. No, but no one outside the program is saying BYU Big 12 title game right now. Nobody.
Ooh. I am enjoying the fact that BYU is again in this category this season? And, I mean, based on what Cougar Stats put out, what you just presented, yeah, there's real evidence that BYU is just generally overlooked, which I love. Hey, so that's why maybe basketball is so hard for BYU fans to, like, grasp and fully embrace.
Yeah, era 404.
Like, no, 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 this isn't how this works. We're unranked, and then we overachieve.
Yeah.
So what would an overachievement be for basketball? Goodness.
What would overachievement be? Is there an overachievement? Because we were talking about Final Four. That means you can win the Natty.
Oh, my goodness.
When you have arguably the best player in college basketball.
BYU, by the way, this close to making history with having basketball and football both ranked in the preseason AP poll for the first time in the same athletic calendar year ever.
Oh, yeah, because they've never done it.
Still
so close.
Just missed with football being the first team out of the top
25. Let's just do it next year.
Yeah.
Let's do it next year.
It could very well happen next year if BYU has a solid
season. But they're both in the top 26. I don't know what your problem is. Yeah. Why are you limiting it to 25? Speaking of the the votes by individual AP voters has been revealed unto us. And four voters put BYU in the top 10. Top 10?
Okay.
BYU is the top 10 preseason team. Damian Sordelet of the Roanoke Times. Great columnist. Just kidding. I don't know.
Shout out to peeps in Roanoke.
Had BYU at 10. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Robert Cessna of the Bryan College Station Eagle had the Cougars at 8.
Okay.
And then there's Chad Bishop from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution at BYU at the highest at 7.
Lucky Spencer, 7.
Are these guys visionaries? Or wearing blue goggles.
I'm wondering if they were confused about how many wins they thought BYU had.
7, 8, 9, 10. In the top 10, I think that's...
Whoa!
To me, that's pretty blue goggled, even for a blue goggled guy.
Did they miss the news this offseason?
I did talk to someone the other day who at BYU Girl Dad Camp that did not know anything about Jake. I was like, you got some reading to do, bro. He's at Tulane now, okay?
I know they cover a lot. There are 136 Division I teams. I know that's a lot to handle when you're voting for a top 25. Did maybe one or a few of these guys...
You only need to really cover like 40 to vote for the top 25.
Did they miss?
Oh, Georgia Southern. I'm not going to have them.
What happened in the offseason? I love it. I hope they're right.
If Jake Retzlaff had come back, yeah, we're talking about top 15 potentially, for sure.
Yeah, that was... And it was an expectation that at worst they were going to be somewhere between, at worst, 16 to 18. But we thought, there's a chance they get top 15.
There's a chance they get way up there. These guys may have not got the memo.
It kind of feels that way. Kind of.
They're like, whoa, what happened? For more fall camp coverage, interviews, shows, Deep Blues, weird voting facts, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the free BYU TV app to get all your BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
After the break, BYU RB1, LJ Martin joins me one-on-one after practice. Is BYU poised for a dominant run game in 2025? And why does he hate playing against the defense day-to-day?
Look, no one's even tackling him, Spencer. They can't bring him down.
He's unstoppable. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
He's back, Joe.
It looks like he's back. He's lost some weight. He looks like the real deal.
Martin makes the catch for the touchdown! LJ with the TD.
Whatever I got to do to win, that's really what I want to do. And that's what I want my legacy to be.
He's the prize horse in that BYU backfield. No doubt about it. LJ Martin. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. And not shockingly, LJ is the center of our next topic and conversation. I had an opportunity to speak with him one-on-one following the most recent scrimmage and discuss things like how much depth is actually in the backfield and why he hates playing against BYU's defense in practice. LJ Martin on BYUSN. LJ, I just spoke with your good buddy and teammate in that running back's room, Sione Moa, and he said, I'm so glad to have a guy like LJ with me and a guy to look up to in that position. So when you work with Sione and you're the clear leader, how does that make you feel when just 2 years ago you were the brand new freshman guy?
It's kind of cool. I mean, just kind of cool to have a relationship like that with my guys, you know, just being able they could come, someone they just could talk to. You know, I don't see it as like I'm a higher than them or anything, or they're lower than me. I just feel like it's a friendship, you know, and I feel like I got a friendship with all the guys in our room and all the guys on our team, and I feel like they're always able to come talk to me no matter what it is, if it's about plays or if it's just about, you know, just nonsense. So it's fine.
Let's talk a little bit more about that leadership mentality, because obviously late in the game when you lose your returning starting quarterback and you have a quarterback battle, there is a need for guys to step up. So how do you feel like you're evolving specifically in that leadership role to try and fill those shoes to a degree?
I don't feel like I got to change anything. You know, everyone here, there's always a saying, we lead ourselves, you know, like we don't look to one specific person. Everyone's got to lead themselves. And as long as we can lead ourselves, then, you know, we'll be all right. So I feel like we've all done that. We've all taken it upon ourselves to lead ourselves, make sure we're doing the right things and trying to be the best we can.
Well, your guys and your coaches, speaking of you and your skill set, are saying LJ looks faster, he looks stronger, he's certainly healthy. How do you feel about those statements when you assess your current physical condition?
Yeah, they're exciting, you know, but I mean, I'm just excited to play football again. I mean, it's football, so it's fun. So I'm just excited to be back out there.
I heard one coach say specifically that running back you saw running away from guys at Arkansas, he's back. Like, yeah. Do you feel like the speed is back to where you want it to be?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I was that fast back then, but I'm definitely, I feel like a lot faster than I was back then. So it'll be fun.
I also spoke with Sione about the offensive line, and he's, man, they're opening up some big holes. And that's interesting because you lose multiple starters and veteran guys from last year's team. So to have a new group come in and really pick up things right where they were, how has that been for you to watch the development of the offensive line?
It's been great, you know. Have faith in those guys. I mean, a lot of them played snaps last year that were meaningful for us. I mean, Jada, Bruce, Waylon, Austin, I mean, you know, those three were starting. And so they all four of them started games. And then the new guys like Andrew Gentry, Kyle, Sonny Macassini, I forgot that one. But, you know, like they're all ballers. And they started games for us, and they started games plenty places elsewhere. Then Kyle started against us a couple games. So, you know, there's no surprise that they're still opening up holes. I mean, they're here for a reason. So
who's the guy that's chirping the most on offense? And if it's not Waylon Lapuaho, who is it?
Shoot. I don't know. I mean, we're all pretty calm. It's more the defense just talking, and we just go out there and just have to beat them down sometimes. You know, Keanu, he's always talking. So, you know, bust a big run on him, and then he's not so loud anymore. So we just kind of let our play do the talking. We're not like the defense. They like to talk a lot, you know. And they back it up sometimes, but, you know, we get them a lot of the times, and it gets a little bit quiet, but when you go in that locker room, we'll let them hear it. So.
You have a firsthand experience facing this BYU defense. So what are opponents and their offenses going to see when they face BYU's defense this year?
Everything. It's, I hate going against it in practice just because it's just like – they don't even feel like the same defense every day. It just feels like one day they're in the offense, they're in the even, they're just doing something else. This day, the next day, it's just like, it's just disgusting, honestly. I don't like it at all. It's not fun. It's not the funnest. I mean, it's cool, you know, but it's just a lot of thinking, and you're just like, oh my goodness, I just want to grab the ball and go. But, you know, so it's fun.
Great perspective from LJ Martin on BYU Sports Nation. The quarterback battle is an obvious headline in camp for everyone outside. It's BYU. It's the quarterback. So how are you seeing those three improve and evolve when they are facing that BYU defensive situation you just explained?
They're doing great, I think. You know, all three of them have been making plays all fall camp, and just watching them. I mean, I've seen McKay and Trace in here for a little bit now. You know, they've been here since last spring, and I've seen them do it with the twos and the threes. So now that they got the ones, they're able to throw to Chase, and they got a little bit of a cleaner pocket. It looks a lot easier for them. And then Bear, he's been doing great. I mean, you won't be able to tell. He just got here in June, but you know, he's a great player, and I feel like all of them are. And I feel like no matter who's back there, we're gonna get the job done.
How have two seasons of Power 4 football for this BYU football program, and frankly for you, made you feel more prepared for the third season of that P4 status?
I mean, it's just more just knowing anyone could be anyone. I mean, it's just not taking a game for granted. So, you know, first week we got Portland State, and we got to focus on that one first, you know. They're not going to be a give me. We know they're a good team, and you know, it's just the same thing along our whole schedule. You know, we just got to take it week by week, game by game. So the next game is Portland State, and we just got to focus on that one and give it our all. And I feel like that's what just kind of helped us just realize, like, not every game is a give me. You know, like, there's going to be a lot of games that just you got to fight it out, rough it out, and, you know, just do whatever you can to win.
Who on the BYU offense do fans not know about, but they're going to know about by the end of the season?
Shoot, this one's kind of hard, but, I mean, would JoJo count?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people know JoJo, but I think he's been looking really good. I mean, I like him a lot, so I feel like he's going to, I mean, they'll be wearing a lot of Phillips jerseys next year, or they'll get them for Christmas, one of the two. But, yeah, I feel like I'll see 13 with Phillips on the back a lot.
Love that. You have a chance to get away for a few days with your team to catch your breath, have some team bonding. What do you feel like that does for your squad to have those breaks in camp that are necessary?
Yeah, I mean, it just allows us to go out there, have fun. I mean, you know, just the experience, just, you know, like, I think last year, I forgot what happened, but I think there was, like, a crazy bug or something in there, and, you know, it just kind of just gives you guys memories outside the field and just feels like you guys are closer. So I think that helps a lot, just being able to be closer and just really care about one another.
Well, thankfully, correct me if I'm wrong, it rained last year, so it's not supposed to rain in the forecast. So you got that going for you.
Yeah, I actually wish it would rain because it was pretty cool up there when we went, and it was actually pretty nice. So I wish it did rain because, I mean, I was wearing a hoodie and it felt pretty nice. I liked it a lot.
Okay, let's redact that. Let's have Kalani do a rain dance and get you some rain up there.
Yeah, hopefully it rains up there. You know, it'll be a lot nicer. It wasn't nice when we were on the lake day and it ended up raining, but it was fun for a while it lasted. So I'm excited.
All right, we'll finish with this. Just some quick hitters about each of the three quarterbacks, beginning with Bear, because he is the mystery guy. He's the guy that's the newest. What are you seeing from him that gives him a legitimate shot to, if A-Rod decides, be the starter on day one?
He's just really smart, confident player. I think he really believes in himself, and he knows the whole playbook. Like, you know, like he didn't really have like a learning curve, and I feel like he's a really good player.
Okay, and then McKay Hillstead.
I mean, you've seen him. I mean, he's great deep ball, throws the ball great, and he's a really good player. He's also smart, and he can do all kinds of things. So I feel like he's a really good player.
And finally, Trayson Borgé.
Great player again. Great teammate. You know, he's just one of the guys where you just his personality, you just kind of attract to it. You know, he's a great guy, also a smart player, and I mean, all three of them I think are very similar in their own way, but I feel like they got their little things, but I think they're all great, and no matter who's back there, we're gonna be fine.
Not as important, which of those three dresses the best
out of those three? I mean, I give it to Trayson because McKay and Bear. So Bear was wearing a shirt that said barely awake yesterday. And then McKay, he showed us like these $300 shorts he got in like middle school. He made his mom buy $300 shorts. We were like, there's no way. And they were not like, I was like, there's no way you just paid $300 for those. So I'm giving it to Trayson. And yeah, just because those guys aren't really in the running.
It's a clear starter in the fashion category for Trayson.
Yeah, I mean, and Bear's wearing 47 as a quarterback, so, like, you could just imagine his fashion off-field. So.
LJ, we appreciate the time, man. Great stuff.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That was great.
Not every quarterback wears number LJ, 47.
LJ dunking on some of those guys. That's funny. If you missed AFR, watch David Nixon, Blaine Fowler, Dave McCann. On demand on the BYU TV app, they broke down the fall schedule for the BYU.
Still on the way, BYU women's soccer officially begins its season tomorrow. A couple of Cougars picking up some preseason hardware. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Tomorrow!
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We've got Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok accounts.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your Wednesday headlines.
Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick said the QB battle's down to two guys, Bear Bachmeier and McKay Hillstead. Bachmeier took the majority of the first team reps yesterday. Team currently taking a break from football-related activities. They are on a retreat in Heber Valley. They'll return to practice tomorrow.
BYU men's basketball just announced it will face Miami in the opening round of the Terry's Chocolate ESPN Events Invitational. The game set for Thanksgiving Day, 5 Eastern on ESPN. Depending on Thursday's results, Cougars will play against either Dayton or Georgetown the following day on Black Friday.
Let's go. Golfers Kihei Akina, Peter Kim, Ty Shelley did not reach the round of 64 at the U.S. Amateur Championship in stroke play. Kim shot 17 over, Keenan 9 over, Shelley finished at 8 over, but cool experience for those guys to participate in that tournament.
It's really difficult to qualify as it is. BYU freshman soccer forward Sophie Savulich was named to the top drawer soccer preseason best 11 freshman team, and her teammate Ellie Walbrook named to the NCAA's forwards to watch list. That's probably the most basic watch list name in the history of watch lists.
Watch the forwards.
She deserves to be on it. Cougars kick off their season tomorrow with a road matchup against 24th-ranked Minnesota. You can watch the game beginning at 8 Eastern, live on Big Ten Plus.
And my ministering companion in my ward, Justin Sterner, came in relief. Where's he been? We have visits to make, buddy. You're pitching in the majors? For the Athletics, 6-0
October win. To February, Jerem. October. He's available October
he's
to February.
He's hoping he's not available in the future October. Against the Rays yesterday, pitched an inning, no runs, no hits, recorded a strikeout on 7 pitches. That's efficient work.
He's done that a lot this season. Mm-hmm. Good things ahead for Justin. Up next, another interview from BYU football camp and a college football national champion. What BYU offensive tackle Andrew Gentry had to say about current camp and how he's meshing in with the new look offensive line. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem.
Andrew Gentry is always a good interview as a guy who has won a natty with Michigan and now is in Provo locking up that right tackle spot on the offensive line. I talked to him yesterday.
So after practice, the players jump in the cold tubs behind the camera. And this is the result. How you feeling right now?
Feeling good. Just got out of the cold tub and a little cold right now, obviously soaking wet, but hey, that's the best thing to do after a long day of practice, right?
What are the benefits of the cold tub for you that you feel the most?
You know, honestly, for me, just sore muscles right away, right? Cools your body temperature down too, right? You obviously got a high body temperature coming off the field. And then for me, I just notice it, especially the next day, right? With the muscles, helps with recovery. So I think there's a lot of benefits. I'm a big proponent of the cold tub.
Are you trying to be the first one in there? Because I just see a lot of sweaty dudes. You don't want to be like the ninth guy in there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could be the first one in there, but I got a lot of tape to take off and braces to take off, so I usually end up being one of the last few guys. So yeah, it's definitely nasty in there, that's for sure. You're not going to want to drink that water. You're going to catch something, but it's good. Still the same benefits.
Then there's Che Bryant Strother, who's like jumping in there. It's like 2 feet deep. That was an interesting move.
Hey, I'm not going to jump in there, right? That's not my skill set. But Jay, he's a better athlete than I am. So, you know, hey, credit to him. But just close your mouth when you're jumping in there.
Week 3, how's camp going? How are you feeling about the offense right now?
Good. Feeling really good about the offense. Love the plays that we're calling. Love the guys around me. We got a great offensive line. A lot of experienced guys that know what they're doing. Just a lot of experienced guys on offense in general, too. We're bringing back a lot of guys from last year. But A-Rod's system's a great system, and the defense is competing hard, looking really good. A lot of great guys on that side of the ball as well. It's been fun competition, right? This is kind of the grind days of camp, right, like you mentioned, going into week 3. So it's a grind, but honestly, it's been good. Guys are staying healthy, but competing hard, and it's been fun.
Coming from Michigan, and obviously a different way of doing things, and Jim Harbaugh and whatnot, and the Big Ten, what's been the biggest thing that's been different about BYU and sort of that the process here?
Yeah, you know, I'd say the biggest difference here is honestly the time that we're here in the building. At Michigan, we were there a lot longer. We stayed in a hotel as well, so really you're kind of completely away from the world. It was all focused on football.
In camp,
that's what it was, the whole month of August. And it's nice here that you kind of get the evenings off. Kalani tries to get us out by 5 o'clock, and so then we can go home, be with family, and kind of have a time away from football to still watch film and recover on your own. But it's been good. I think there's pluses and minuses to both, but I enjoy this change up to camp has been nice.
I could see where people would be like, well, wait a minute, are you not putting in the same amount of time. So what do you think the advantage is of that, of, hey, we go home a little earlier, but here's why. Here's the advantage.
Yeah, I would say the advantages too is when you're here, there's a lot, right? You know, like you're grinding, you come in, you got meetings right away, then you go straight from meetings to practice, and you change, right? Then you got more meetings, you got a lift, right? So you're doing a lot more in a shorter period of time, right? It's a little more extended throughout the day at Michigan because they just want to keep you there. So the benefit of that, right, is you kind of learn how to, with a lot of stress, how to deal with that and get it done quickly. But then also too, it's nice to have your body recover, right? To get some time where you can be away from the building, let your mental state recover. So I think there's pluses and minuses to both, right? But I like the advantages here of being able to go home and have that time for my body to recover. I feel a lot better in camp right now than I did a year ago, so that feels good.
Talked about the cold tub. I know that your brother has a sauna.
Yes.
Talk to me about two linemen, because he played here too. Yep. Two linemen in a sauna.
Hey, it's
big enough.
It's big enough. Yeah, it's big enough. Nice. I love going in there. I'm a big proponent of the sauna as well, right? The hot and the cold. I wish I had a cold tub in my house too, because I like to do the contrast of going sauna. Then yeah, that's the next step. Get a cold tub. But no, big. You know, hey, try to do anything you can, any competitive advantage, make your body feel better. So I'm into trying it.
And how are you feeling coming off the Liz Frank in week three of camp here?
The foot feels great. Yeah, it really does. Credit to the strength staff here. Credit to the PT staff here, especially Terrence Motley. You know, they helped a ton in just getting me back, and I feel better than I did before, so it feels really good.
You played 26 games at Michigan. You started two. Unfortunately, the injury happened.
Yep.
What's the biggest thing that you've kind of taken away from that experience, 3 years at that program, that tangibly helps you here?
I would say the biggest thing is just, you know, we learned how to win at Michigan, right? I was on a lot of winning teams. You know, I go to the College Football Playoff my freshman year, win the national championship my sophomore year. Then last year I dealt with the injury, and last year was kind of an up and down year for Michigan as well, finished off the season well. But it's just a winning culture that we learned there. Learned from some really, really good players. You know, I was just watching preseason. You watch the LA Rams, and I see Josiah Stewart, who I went up against for the last 2 years in practice every day as an edge rusher, getting a sack, right, in some of his first few snaps in the NFL. So those are guys that you're competing against every day. And you know, so you get to play against the best of the best. And so I feel like coming in here, I had a lot of knowledge of the game and have seen a lot of different guys, both in game and out of game and practice. And I feel like I can come here and help the team in any way I can.
I want to learn something about each of the three quarterbacks that are competing. So I'll say their name. You tell me something they do really well that you've seen. Okay. McKay Hillstead.
McKay Hillstead, just a great athlete. You know, he comes out there and there's instant respect for him, and he knows what he's doing. But then also he can make plays with his feet really, really well. So he's done some really great things.
Trayson Bourget.
Trayson Bourget knows the offense really, really well. He's a super smart quarterback, super smart player. So I know that when he's there, he's going to get us in the right spot. And it's no hesitation on his part as well.
And then Bear Bachmeier.
I'd say Bear, he's really smart just in general too. I mean, you see, you know, I've been around some really good quarterbacks, and as a true freshman, I don't know if I've seen somebody quite like Bear with just how advanced he is, how well he knows the offense, how fast he's picked it up, and just the confidence he has too. You know, when he's back there behind us and he comes in with the ones, there's no stoppage, there's no hesitation from him. He's just out there slinging the rock and doing what he does best. And, you know, that's huge for a freshman, because I think a lot of times that's the biggest curve, is just the speed of the game and understanding of the game. And Bear has just picked that up right away, and there's no drop off when he's in the game with us.
Do you have voice recognition if you guys aren't huddling? Like, can you tell who it is back there now?
I mean, yeah, I think so. I think the biggest thing, honestly, is like the timing too. Each quarterback has a little bit of a different timing, which is something to get used to right when they're snapping the ball. But yeah, I got some voice recognition too. I could tell you who's back there just by hearing their voice and their cadence.
Well, thanks for the time, and best of luck with the sauna, the cold tub, all of it, all the meetings and everything.
Thanks so much. Always great to see you.
It's hard to capture the experience that he had at Michigan and how valuable that's going to be. He was about to be one of the guys at Michigan. He started a couple of games, and then he got the Liz Frank. He's feeling good coming off it. He said BYU was lucky to get him. I mean, USC was in the mix. There were a bunch of big schools that really wanted this guy. BYU wanted him out of high school. He committed to Virginia. And so I'm excited to watch him play. I think he'll be a road grader for BYU. I think Jada will be good. I'm excited about this O-line. Aaron Roderick said, we're going to be able to run the ball. And that is the best case scenario, and a good tight end and a good receiving core for one, Bear Bachmeier or McKay Hillstead.
If BYU can establish a run, then whoever plays quarterback is going to have a notable amount of pressure taken off their shoulders.
Because A-Rod in play action pass is fantastic. Like, what he dials up specifically in that part of the game is where BYU is explosive.
Where he's best at his chess game.
I would say that's what Aaron Roderick does best, is give me a good play action pass. And remember, in 23, BYU couldn't run, so they couldn't play action pass effectively. The defense like, nah, we don't believe you. Go ahead, run. Go ahead, you'll get 3 yards, whatever. Now, if BYU can run and they feel confident in that with a good offensive line, which you've returned the interior, but you're replacing the tackles. Jada played a little bit at the end of last year. He got hurt. But he came in that Kansas game. Remember, Braden Keim gets hurt.
Yeah.
And BYU does march down the field. I know they don't finish that drive, but Jada's in there the whole time. And Andrew Gentry's the guy that has NFL measurables. And now it's his opportunity to prove it as a starter at a Power 4 school. And that guy's got a national championship ring. He's got some incredible experience. He's been in the playoff twice.
We're going to interview TJ Woods on Friday at camp and get a complete take on where he stands in solidifying not just the first group, but really his emphasis is, are my next five?
Yes, because Austin Leusa, my understanding is, if there was an issue at either guard spot or either tackle spot, boom, he goes in. Kyle Safarczyk, he probably is he's battling with Sonny Mocassina for backup center, and then Sonny versus Austin for starting right guard.
He's got eight guys.
Yes.
Eight solid guys.
You don't need 9 or 10. You just need 8.
Especially if they're versatile, he is saying they are.
They have some good young players that in the future will be interesting. Andrew Williams is one out of Missouri. And then, Braden Chittister. And you got Brigham Alexander. And so they really like that group the next couple of years. I've never questioned certain positions at BYU in that depth. I've never questioned linebacker. I've never questioned offensive line. those are two where I go, no, loaded, awesome, every year.
Sione Moa is the guy that I talked to yesterday, and he talked about how easy the offensive line is making his job. And part of that is him understanding the playbook better, too, as a running back.
Yeah.
And getting to the gaps that are created for him in a quicker fashion, having better understanding. But he said, I am frankly surprised at how there has been no drop-off. And frankly, they've been awesome.
It's
all
a
camp.
Big deal when you're replacing the tackle, Spence, and we're not talking like it's this massive question mark because we have confidence in Jada and Gentry, and should it be Leusa in the mix there too? That's awesome. And then you have some young bucks you're excited about behind him.
Coach Woods is earning his keep, Jerem.
He's done a tremendous job. He really has. And who they've recruited and who's coming in the next couple of years is crazy exciting too. They're getting some of the best guys they've ever gotten.
And TJ is one of those guys that will yell. And necessarily, Connor Pay's like, no, we need that guy. He's like, sometimes he gets so mad, he's yelling. I'm like, I can't even understand you, coach. I don't even understand a single word.
Just dribble coming off his mouth.
I know you're mad, and I like it.
I want my O-line coach to look like a trucker. I do. They need to. My stepdad Bruce looked like a trucker. He looked like an O-line guy. That's what you want. Yeah, exactly. TJ Woods.
He's our guy.
Thanks to Bill.
Very funny. Oh, goodness. All right, let's keep this thing rolling.
Women's soccer opens the season tomorrow on the road at number 24 Minnesota, 8 Eastern on Big Ten Plus. Best of luck to the Cougs. They start what we think will be another really good season.
After the break, how do your expectations shift depending on who the BYU starting quarterback is? More of your answers to our question of the day after the break on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. You can download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the pod, at 1.5 or 2 speed, depending on what you can handle there. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Ooh, 2 speed. That's quick.
Let me tell you where 2 speed's the best. Conference talks. A little more deliberate.
Sure.
A little more slow delivery.
Yeah.
2x, half the time. Boom, baby.
Okay. Get the goodness in half
the
time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feel the goodness.
Our question
General
of the
conference,
day.
Feel the goodness.
How do your expectations shift depending on who the starting quarterback for BYU football is this season?
Real quick, do they for you?
Not really that much.
Me too. Like, McKay hasn't started in Power 4, neither is Barron, neither. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
At Reich_BYU, my expectations haven't shifted much. This is best case scenario to start an inexperienced QB. You have veteran offense with experienced skill players and a defense that may be considered the best BYU has ever had when the season is over, plus a softer schedule to start him in. We've talked about all of these elements,
yes,
right?
That's a great
perfect
summary
scenario
of,
to break in the quarterback.
Yes. Amen to all that. Why was that not the elite voice of the day?
Because our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare, careers built for victory, comes in from @GarrettJohnson1, who says, Barrett QB, I'm dreaming big plays, maybe a SportsCenter top 10 moment. McKay at QB, I'm trusting steady wins and less yelling at the TV. Either way, I'm stocking up on heart medication.
There you go. Okay.
Something to lower the stress at times. Very good.
We all care about this very much.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
KSL TV, which sometimes pays Spencer Linton, did a story on some potentially groundbreaking tech on headgear aimed to help deal with brain trauma in football. Former great Larry Carr working on the study that BYU is participating in with light therapy.
Love it.
Go check out that story. It's pretty interesting.
Light therapy to help out in a really, really tricky
beams of light
situation within football.
Yeah.
Very cool. Our thanks to today's guests, LJ Martin and Andrew Gentry.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to John Tate. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Studio B. Go Cougs.